You would think that being born again for over 50 years and being a diligent student of the book that my knowledge in the things of God would be complete. But that is far from true. I have learned to say that I don't know everything about anything. Rather, I am knowing about it. Every word in the beautiful book is a piece of God. Consider these three verses, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Revelation 19:13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. When a child of God approaches God's Word with clean hands and a pure heart, and with ear bowed down, God begins to write his revelation on the table of that child of God's heart. Because it is the mind of Christ, this is an ever-expanding revelation. I can certainly say that I don't know everything about born again. No, I am knowing about it. I don't know everything about my shoe size, or the shoe for that matter. Under the definition of shoe in the Oxford English Dictionary sits a picture of a shoe, and the various parts of the shoe are listed: the outsole, the bottom filler, the welt, the wing cap, the insole, the vamp, the tongue, the cuff, the heel grip, the seat lift, the heel, the steel shank, the lining. Wow. And that doesn't include the various required materials. For example, the marvelously durable leather from which many shoes are made. That particular material, with all its molecular wonders produced by one of God's creatures, was created by God out of that which is invisible, and we have yet to consider the beyond magnificent mind of God that conceived it. It's obvious I don't know everything about anything. Dear visitor, have you yet to be born again, as Jesus declares in John 3:3? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In just a few minutes, I will invite you to follow me in a simple prompt, and if you follow from your heart, today you will begin to know born again. Today you will be reconciled to God. Today all your sin and shame will be washed away by Christ's cleansing blood. Your record will be fully expunged. Today all of Satan's bondages in your life will be broken, every single one. Today you will begin to understand 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's literally true. All things will become new. Here is the prompt I promised. Are you ready to begin your marvelous revelation? Then do it now. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 18:16-17, 20-21. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. God said, Genesis 19:1-29. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, encompassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. God said, Deuteronomy 29:23, And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Man said, It doesn't matter who you love. The Sodom and Gomorrah story is a fairy tale handed down from old folklore. The Bible has no historic credibility, so enjoy. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature article 1262, that will for the 1262nd time certify the full inerrancy of God's Holy Bible. All of these faith-building features are archived here in text and streaming audio for the building up of the saints and to be used as ammunition in the battle for the lost sons and daughters of Adam. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for visiting today. May God's light and love shine upon you and your home. You have arrived at the God Said, Man Said Genesis series. This is part 42. Each of these features begins with the following information from the first feature, according to a 2006 issue of Discover magazine concerning the deceased Carl Sagan. Sagan approaches religion like any phenomenon. He isn't on a quest for life's meaning, for a comforting philosophy, or even a guide to how we should treat the neighbors. Sagan seeks truth of a demonstrable kind. As a puckish example, he wonders why the book of Genesis didn't include God-inspired truths. End of quote. I recently received an advertisement from a magazine called Free Inquiry that also has a problem with the God of creation and the first book of the Bible called Genesis. Under the heading, "Is God Big Enough for the Universe?" Free Inquiry writes, "The authors of Genesis proclaim that God made the heavens and the earth in less than a week. Why, this feat must have amazed these Bronze Age authors, even though they thought the heavens extended only so far as the sky above them. Of course, they did not know what stars, planets, or galaxies were. We now know that the universe is so much bigger and so much more complex," end of quote. The born again scratched their heads in bewilderment. Did these folks actually read the book of Genesis? I suppose they did. But God's revelation is only revealed to the humbled hearts of the children of faith. This God Said, Man Said series will be called the Genesis series. It is our intention to travel through the entire book of Genesis and publish one major God-inspired truth after another. We will be pulling from previous God Said, Man Said features and adding the latest information as we go. Miracles and all. God's word is the inerrant supernatural truth, and those that embrace it find life and find it more abundantly. The skeptics want the believer to present their scientific positions void of a reliance on miracles. They entirely miss the point. The redeemed serve a God of miracles, and the miraculous begins with Genesis from the very first verse, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." There is no truth beyond the God of miracles, for he is, in fact, the truth. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten, had this to say in John 14:6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The sons and daughters of God prove their God by the miracles, one after marvelous one. One of the most prominent miracles in the Word of God, and surely one of the most maligned, is found with Abraham and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. Sodom and Gomorrah, along with their companion cities, were destroyed by fire and brimstone out of heaven, just like the Bible says, and their histories are hooked at the hip with one of the wonders of the world, a body of water called the Dead Sea. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature, Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible records in the book of Genesis that in the days of the patriarch Abraham and his nephew Lot, there existed two very wicked cities by the names of Sodom and Gomorrah. All or a large number of the men of the city of Sodom were homosexual. It is from this city's name that the word sodomy finds its root. Homosexuals are, in fact, known as sodomites. Genesis records that God destroyed these two wicked cities, as well as the cities of Admah and Zeboim, miraculously by raining down upon them brimstone and fire out of heaven. It was about 1900 years before Christ that the catastrophic destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah took place. Highly acclaimed chronologist and historian Bishop Usher states in his book, The Annals of the World, which was written in the 1600s, that the destruction took place in the spring of 1897 B.C. or 2107 A.M. A.M. is the abbreviation for the Latin phrase Anno Mundi, which translates to years since the world began. You've heard of the Dead Sea. You've probably seen promotional photographs of someone sitting in the water of the Dead Sea while reading a newspaper. The mineral content of the water is so dense that you can't sink. The Dead Sea is truly a wonder of the world, the abiding testimony of the judgment of God. In 1848, the United States commissioned an expedition to research the mysteries of the Dead Sea. It was led by geologist W.F. Lynch. The following excerpt is from the Bible as History. Huge deposits of coagulated salt made the beach and the rock face above it sparkle in the sun like diamonds. The air was filled with sharp, acrid odors, a mixture of petroleum and sulfur. Oily patches of asphalt, the Bible calls it slime, Genesis 14:10, float on the waves. The world learned for the first time from the report of the expedition two astonishing facts. The Dead Sea is over 1,200 feet in depth. The bottom of the sea is therefore about 2,500 feet below the level of the Mediterranean. The water of the Dead Sea contains approximately 30% of solid ingredients, most sodium chloride, i.e. cooking salt. The normal ocean has only 3.3 to 4% salt, end of quote. And now another excerpt from the Bible as History. It is only very recently that a great stir was caused by the excavation of Tel el Mardik, south of Aleppo. It was here that the Italian scholars Paolo Mathai and Giovanni Pettinato discovered Ebla, a town dating from the 3rd millennium before Christ. The first sensational discovery was that in almost prehistoric times, a high-degree culture had existed there with what was for those days an enormously differentiated social structure. The second sensation was that Ebla possessed rich archives of clay tablets. The third sensation, and the most important in connection with the question of names, is that the text from Ebla, dating from the 3rd millennium before Christ, contain names which are familiar to us from the Bible. The name of Abraham was encountered, as well as those of the sinful towns of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboam on the Dead Sea, which were all destroyed by fire, end of quote. Bishop Usher writes in the Annals of the World concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboam, for their horrible sins, perished by fire and brimstone that rained down upon them from heaven. These cities were to be an example to all wicked men in times to come of the pains of that everlasting fire to be inflicted on them in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The monument of this remains to this day, even the Dead Sea. The Valley of Siddim, where these five cities stood in former times, was full of brimstone and salt pits. This has since grown into a vast lake, which because of the brimstone still floating in it, is called Lacus Asphaltitis, or Lake of Brimstone, and because of the salt, Mare Salsum, or Salt Sea. End of quote. Sodom and Gomorrah were once part of the Jordan Valley, and the Jordan Valley is part of a huge fracture, a crack, in the earth's crust. According to geologists, around 2000 BC, again the time of Sodom's judgment, this area literally plunged into an abyss or hole. The following paragraphs are from ArcDiscovery.com under the heading, Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, ash and brimstone remain. The five cities of the plain have been located, and the evidence is staggering. For the first time in modern history, we have found round balls of brimstone, or nearly pure sulfur, embedded in an ashen area near the Dead Sea. These sulfur balls are mostly golf ball-sized, and some have burn marks all around them. Webster's dictionary says that brimstone equals sulfur. Accordingly, we have found the absolute proof that we have finally located Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. Each of the cities of the plain contained evidence of brimstone, which God rained down upon the cities to destroy them. The brimstone is composed of 96 to 98% sulfur, which with trace amounts of magnesium create an extremely high temperature burn. This is the only place on earth where you can find 96% pure monoclinic sulfur in a round ball. This brimstone is not from any type of geothermal activity, as there are no evidence of such in the area, and geothermal sulfur nodules are only 40% pure sulfur and are of the rhombic type. The extremely high burning temperatures created a multi-shaded layering of ash that was formed by thermal ionization caused by electrons repelling and attracting, creating a swirling effect sometimes. The intense fire which God rained down upon these cities was so hot that it burned the limestone blocks that were used in the construction of the cities. The ash there today is composed of calcium sulfate and calcium carbonate, which are byproducts of the limestone and sulfur burning, end of quote. Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone, yes, over and over again. The following passages are from Haley's Bible Handbook. In 1924, Drs. W.F. Albright and M.G. Kyle, directing a joint expedition of the American Schools and Zenith Seminary, found at the southeast corner of the Dead Sea, 50 AC, and there were great quantities of potsherds, flints, and other remains of a period dating between 2500 B.C. and 2000 B.C., and evidence that the population ended abruptly about 2000 B.C., This evidence that the region was densely populated and prosperous indicates that it must have been very fertile, like the Garden of God. That the population ceased abruptly and that it has been a region of unmixed desolation ever since seems to indicate that the district was destroyed by some great cataclysm which changed the soil and climate. Brimstone, Kyle said that under Mount Uzdom, the word Uzdom in English is Sodom, there is a stratum of salt 150 feet thick, and that at the proper time God kindled the gases, a great explosion took place. The salt and the sulfur were thrown into the heavens red hot, so that it did directly rain down fire and brimstone from heaven, end of quote. In one last statement, G.A. Smith writes, Sodom and Gomorrah have become synonymous for vice and godlessness. Sexual acts alluded to in connection with the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah are the basis for the contemporary term sodomy. Sodomy is a term understood in history, literature, and law in several senses, as denoting any homosexual practice between men or women, in allusion to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, as denoting anal intercourse, and three, as synonymous with bestiality. The Hebrew word Sodom means to scorch, burnt, volcanic, or bituminous district. The Hebrew word Gomorrah means ruin, as a ruined heap. And so it came to pass, as you should suspect, God's word is correct once again, end quote. The following information is from the God Said, Man Said feature, Sodom and Dots. Why are they never able to connect the dots? Instead, they will embrace the most bizarre and untenable, even ridiculous positions without even a hint of a blush. Such is the state of the carnal academics and carnaldom as a whole. This psychosis of embracing foolishness over God's truth is a result of holding the word of God in unbelief, what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 calls the deceivableness of unrighteousness. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and then 26 through 28. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn then their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. A reprobate mind is a worthless one. They just can't connect the obvious dots. Example, over 20 years ago when Dr. Mary Schweitzer discovered soft tissue and purported 65 million plus year old dinosaur bones, the evolutionists pushed back vehemently. The underlying obvious conclusion from such a discovery would not be helpful. Their understanding of fossilization made such a discovery impossible but this discovery began to be duplicated in specimen after specimen from dinosaurs to frog. Evolutionists then concluded that their understanding of fossilization needed to be changed. It never dawned on them that the Earth is young, even just over 6,000 years young. They just couldn't connect the dots. They couldn't connect them. When microbiologists overturned evolution's long-embraced timeline and method of human origin, a serious head-scratching moment occurred. Their long-held position was that man didn't come from a single place, but was evolving from various locations all over the Earth. But microbiologists discovered that the entirety of today's population came from the same common mother. Tongue-in-cheek, they named her mtDNA Eve. The next discovery that rocked the evolutionary boat was that all of today's population came from one common father. He was dubbed Y-chromosome Adam. It is postulated that the coupling of this Adam and Eve took place around 200,000 years ago, with another guesstimation of maybe 60,000 years ago. Imagine, one science writer had the brass to suggest that even 6,000 years ago was possible. They can't, or I should say, most can't, connect the dots. Noah's flood. Impossible, they claim. If the flood is actually true, then there is a God who involves himself in the affairs of men, and that would mean that all will have to stand before this God of the Bible at the great white throne judgment. Can't be, can't be, they shout. But fish fossils are found on every mountain peak. A sea monster was unearthed in Nebraska, shark fossils in Cleveland, whale fossils in the desert, and flood strata over 3/4 of the Earth's surface. Did we mention that over 500 ancient societal accounts also speak of a similar event? They can't connect the dots. When the volcano at St. Mount Helens erupted in 1980, the area's topography changed dramatically. When newly formed rock was sent for radiometric dating, the rock, actually only 10 years old, was dated using potassium argon as a 10-year-old rock dated to 350,000 years old, and minerals within it dated at up to 2.4 million years old. The catastrophe occurred in 1980. Samples were collected from a lava flow that occurred in 1986. Those same samples were tested in 1996. Why is it so hard for them to connect the dots? It's a matter of heredity. Grandma Eve believed and followed the lie, and Grandpa Adam followed her pernicious ways ever since. It's been like mother, like daughter, like father, like son. The only way to escape the dot dilemma is to be born again. God said, man said, feature. Archaeology says, I found Sodom. The latest discovery made by archaeologist Stephen Collins warranted front-page representation on the March-April 2013 issue of Biblical Archaeology Review, and inside a 10-plus-page feature. Collins presents his case for Tal el-Haman as the actual city of Sodom. Excerpts from the feature follow. A number of scholars in the past have placed Sodom at various places at or near the southern end of the Dead Sea. While the dispute will no doubt continue, I believe that Tal el-Haman is by far the best candidate for biblical Sodom. The main reason for rejecting the southern sites is, of course, the Bible. Nothing in the Bible leads to these southern sites, and everything leads to the area north of the Dead Sea opposite Bethel and Ai. There is a remarkable correspondence here between text and ground. One other biblical point, Genesis 19:1 says that the angels first came to Lot while he was sitting in the gate of Sodom. We have been excavating the major gate complex that led into the city of Tel Haman. Nothing remotely similar has been found in the south. It is interesting that not a single advocate of the southern sites has ever provided a detailed analysis of Genesis 13:1 through 12 in support of their position. It is true that there is some evidence of a fiery destruction in the southern area, but this is also true of Tal el-Haman and the area north of the Dead Sea. Bitumen chunks have been mined all around the Dead Sea, including at Tal el-Haman, end of quote. Under the heading Wrathful Destruction, Stephen Collins writes, across Tal el-Haman, archaeologists found widespread evidence of an intense, fiery conflagration that left the Middle Bronze Age city in charred ruins. Well below the later Iron Age levels of this excavation trench are the scorched walls and floors of a Middle Bronze Age structure that was buried beneath nearly 3 feet of dark gray ash. Amid the destruction debris was this 4.5-inch-long pottery shard from a Middle Bronze Age storage jar. The glassy appearance of the shard's surface indicates that it was briefly exposed to temperatures well in excess of 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, the approximate heat of volcanic magma. Similar melted shards were found across the site, suggesting the city and its environs were catastrophically destroyed in a sudden extreme conflagration, end of quote. Then Collins continues. The terminal destruction layer at Tel Ahaman lies across both the upper and lower Tal and consists of a matrix of heavy, dark ash mixed with fragments of pottery, mud bricks, a wide range of object fragments, and human bone scatter. Numerous pottery fragments of this matrix lie across the site and have outside surfaces melted into glass, with some bubbled up like frothy magma, indicating they were burned in a flash heat event far exceeding 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The conflagration must have yielded extremely high heat and affected catastrophic damage. The memory of the destruction of Ha-Kikar, with its large population and extensive agricultural lands, was preserved in the Book of Genesis and ultimately incorporated into a traditional tale, or better said, traditional account, that drawing on the layer of ash that covered the destruction of one of its major cities remembered a place consumed by a fiery cat catastrophe from out of the heavens in Genesis 19:24. The Bible gives the city's name Sodom, end of quote. The city of Sodom, from whence comes the word sodomy, which defines the homosexual activity in all the companion cities of the plain, were destroyed by fire and brimstone out of heaven. God's word is true and righteous altogether, a place to build a life that will last forever, end of quote. The following paragraphs are from the December 22, 2018 and January 5, 2019 issue of Science News. The headline reads, "Meteor may have wiped out ancient Dead Sea cities." A superheated blast from the skies obliterated cities and farming settlements north of the Dead Sea about 3,700 years ago, preliminary findings suggest. Radiocarbon dating and minerals that instantly crystallized at high temperatures indicate that an airburst caused by an exploding meteor instantaneously destroyed civilization on a kilometer wide or 15 and a half miles plain called Middle Gore, said archaeologist Philip Silva. The event may have pushed a brine of Dead Sea salts over farmland. People did not repopulate the area for 600 to 700 years. Silva of Trinity Southwest University in Albuquerque reported November 17 at a meeting of the American Schools of Oriental Research. Excavations at five sites in Jordan indicate that all were occupied for at least 2,500 years until a sudden collapse toward the end of the Bronze Age. Up to about 65,000 people lived in the area when the cosmic calamity hit, Silva said. The clearest evidence of the destruction caused by a meteor explosion comes from the city of Tal el-Hamon. Mud brick walls of nearly all structures suddenly disappeared about 3,700 years ago, leaving only stone foundations. What's more, the outer layers of many pottery pieces from the time show signs of having melted into glass. Zircon crystals in those glassy coats formed within 1 second at very high temperatures, Silva said. High-force winds created spherical mineral grains that rained down on Tel el-Hamon and have been found on pottery there, he said, end of quote. Archaeologists date this event to approximately 3,700 years ago. Biblical dating puts the events of Sodom and Gomorrah at just over 3,900 years ago. Were the great prophets and apostles of the Bible duped by faith? Did Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, have it wrong? Of course the answer is no. The historians in the time of and preceding Christ, as well as the discoveries of today, concur over and over again with the Genesis record. But somehow, today's experts cannot connect the dots. The lack of schooling among the world's highly acclaimed academics is breathtaking. The schooling I'm referring to, of course, is Sunday schooling. They are treading on the charred remains of the cities of the plain, where God rained down his terrible judgment, and they have no idea where they are. They just can't connect the dots. Does reprobate come to mind? God's first book of the Bible, Genesis, is one marvelous God-inspired truth after another and after another. Yes, God's children of faith can connect the dots, and what a marvelous picture it creates. God said, Genesis 18, 16, and 17, 20, and 21, "And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know." God said, Genesis 19, 24 through 29, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." God said, Deuteronomy 29, 23, "And that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, neither beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath." Man said, "It doesn't matter who you love. The Sodom and Gomorrah story is a fairy tale handed down from old folklore. The Bible has no historic credibility, so enjoy. Now you have the record."